Is this thing on? Good morning, everybody. I'm terrified. So I'm just letting you know. I've been up here once before, but that was more of a recap of things that had happened. Never actually, you know, preparing something or something like that. But this message is kind of years in the making. I'll tell that story in a little bit, but I had a conversation with somebody, and I always said, if I ever get the chance to present this, I'm going to talk about this. Well, this was years ago. And so the opportunity came up, and I was like, I guess it's time for this. I'm like, well, do I really want to do this because it's kind of different. It's me. And maybe kind of strange. And but when the date was set certain, and I was praying and thinking about this, something else, the ideas, everything just kept flowing. I'm like, no, it's time. But we're going to have a little fun first. See if this thing is on. As you see the title here, Songs, Poems, and Quotes, Words That Speak to Your Heart. Like I said, I'll tell you the story in a minute, but we're going to have a little fun first, right? And I want to know, would you like to play a game? What movie is this from? Come on, anybody? War Games. War Games. The old classic games. Matthew Broderick, you know. World War III, the computers playing the games, right? Let's do a different one. Everybody knows this one, right? Right, I hear what? Somebody say the name. Yeah, what's the name of the movie? A Few Good Men, right. Wow, we know all these. We remember these like nobody's business. Oh, what's this one? Jaws, right? Quite possibly the scariest movie ever made. And, you know, suspense and things like that. What about this one? Did I hear it? The Godfather, right? Right at the beginning of the movie. It's very interesting. The only line the actor was supposed to say was "leave the gun." The actor actually added the "take the cannoli" or at the end, and they left it in. Ooh, how about this one? This one might be a little bit more difficult. The Sandlot, killing me, Spalls. I say this all the time. No. When I'm getting frustrated, I could be working on something. I say, "Ugh, you're killing me, Smalls." I can't say just "you're killing me." I can't say that anymore. It just sticks in your head, doesn't it? Ooh, what about this one? Some younger people might actually know this one. Lord of the Rings, right? Not one of the more popular ones, right? But one of my favorite scenes from my favorite fictional books. One of my favorite scenes in the movie. This is the first Lord of the Rings movie, right? When Gandalf is about to fall down to his supposed death. I'm sure as Christians we all liked when we saw this movie, and we saw this quote. What is this movie? Well, it's the first Avengers movie, right? When he's about to jump out of the airplane and she's like, "Hey, they're basically gods." And he says this, "There's only one God, ma'am," and I'm pretty sure he doesn't dress like that. Which is true. And it's amazing that a line like that even made it into a Hollywood movie, isn't it? We remember these things, right? These things, they stick with us, right? We can rattle them off like this. We could go on and on with quotes like this, right? We all know, well, most of you that know me know I am a music person. I love music. I've been listening to it since I was 2 years old. I was raised on 60s and 70s music, and all of this. And song quotes are just, they're all over. They're all over me. I have a shirt at home that says my brain is 80% song lyrics, right? And it's true. In a way, it's kind of sad. You know, I have Val and Jennifer, we play this game where we do song lyric trivia back and forth to see who knows what song it came from. I don't have slides for these because these would have been too long, but I have song quotes for you, some of my personal favorites, right? The first one is from my wife's favorite singer, Bob Dylan, right? In a song about finding love, losing it, finding it again, losing it, wanting to go back there, he has this line about the past, right? And it says, "On all the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Some are mathematicians, some are carpenters' wives. I don't know how it all got started. I don't know what they do with their lives." Isn't that, that's kind of cool. You know, think about the people that have come in and out of your life, and you think about, whatever happened to this person I used to go to church with? Whatever happened to this friend I used to have that moved away? Right, they just appear, they're memories. They're like wisps. And you have no idea what has happened to them, right? And that's one of my favorite lines because it's so true about we think back in our past. Remember this person? Remember, that you have conversations with each other all the time, I'm sure, right? Remember so-and-so? Wow, whatever happened to them? I thought the way he put that is really amazing. Here's another song by a group from the 90s. Their name was called Pearl Jam. The song itself is about, he's lamenting a relationship he had that he couldn't make work. And he's thinking back. The other person was great and was fine. And he's lamenting that you know, why I couldn't make this work. And one of the highlights of the song is this lyric that he says, "I know someday you'll have a beautiful life. I know you'll be a star in somebody else's sky. But why can't it be mine?" And it's really an emotional part of the song. And, you know, think about that. He's like, this love that he had, he's like, "I know you're going to be a star in somebody else's sky." And he's really sad. Why can't it be mine? I think that's beautiful. Right? Christian group, Casting Crowns. Here's a verse they say, "While we're sung to sleep by philosophies of save the trees and kill the children." Now, we all know, you know, that our society has things backwards, you know. Animals and trees are more important than humans, even if they're unborn. But the way they wrote that just makes you think, right? It's like, perfect, you hit the nail on the head. The last one I have for you is one that's quite possibly from the saddest song ever written. November 10th, 1975, there was a shipwreck on Lake Superior. Some of you older people will know what I'm talking about. And this artist named Gordon Lightfoot wrote this song called "The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald," and it was about this true event, right? The music and the words, they just convey, you know, the emotions of a shipwreck going on. If you're in the Navy like me, sometimes these things speak to you. The movie Titanic, not because it's a romance. I'm a guy, right? Because I've been out there. I can relate to the terror that these people, there's nowhere to go, right? He has a line in this song that says, "Does anyone know where the love of God goes when the waves turn the minutes to hours?" The guys, they're on the deck. They're in there. Their ship is, the waves are just coming over. And every minute, every second, seems like an hour to them, right? Quite, the ship sank. All 29 crew members died, right? There's a museum up in, I think, Detroit, something, but they're in Michigan somewhere, about it. But wow, the way he puts that. Now, of course, we all know that that's kind of a misconception about, you know, where the love of God goes. It doesn't go anywhere, right? In this line. But, you know, he writes this. But he's writing this to convey an image, to elicit an emotion, right? And these words, they're lyrics that I remember, right? They're like, they stick with me. I could go on and on and on and just say, oh, this is beautiful, and this is beautiful, and this is beautiful, right? So the way this message got started was I was having a conversation with someone. I'm pretty sure I remember who it was, but it was some years ago. And it was a person, you know, says they, you know, believe in Christ and things like that. Maybe not, you know, they don't, if it's a person I'm thinking of, then, you know, they're not, you know, maybe, you know, showing their faith all the time. And we're talking about Christian music. And they were like, I just don't like it. Just doesn't get to me. I can't find anything. And so I'm like, well, in Christian music, you can find whatever style that you want, right? There are all these different styles. As art, there's some I like and some I don't like, and that's just an art preference, right? So you can find it. And I said back, well, I guess you're going to listen to the songs that are important to you, right? The ones that speak to you. That's the ones you're going to, you know, remember. And the person goes, yeah, I guess you're right. Kind of an offhanded comment. At that moment, that got me to thinking, and I always said, I'm going to talk about this moment if I ever get the chance to do what I'm doing now. And so that is where this message comes from. But, you know, we kind of have a question. Why are we like that? Why do these movie quotes stick in our mind? Why can we rattle off these song quotes, you know, like nobody's business? When a poem, some people like poems, maybe a quote from a politician, right? Whatever speaks to your heart, right? Why do these secular things stick out with us more than the words of God? Why are we like that? I want you to know that I am speaking to myself also, so I fall into this trap just like everyone else. Why are we this way? What's wrong with us? Right? Proverbs 27:19. These verses come from a Christian Standard Bible, which is the one I'm kind of reading. I'm reading at this moment, and the one I'm using. So they seem a little different. But I've cross-checked them with different versions. The meanings are all the same. As water reflects the face, so the heart reflects the person. Right? I'm going to posit to you that the reason this happens is because our life experiences are more tangible to us than the things of God. They're more real to us as we walk through our lives. If somebody makes a song about a bad job, about getting money, we relate to that. We do that every day, right? Somebody makes a song about worldly pleasures or hobbies. And I'm not even talking about sinful pleasures, just whatever we like to enjoy, right? Wow, we can relate to that, right? There have been plenty of songs written about cars. You know, how fast can your car go? You know, things like that. I've got all kind of them in my head right now. Right? There's lots of these things, right? We're like, oh, yeah, I love cars. I love that. We can listen to people, other people speak. We can mine quotes from people that are our favorite philosophers or our favorite intellectuals. They speak, we remember these things. Right? I do it. I heard Ravi Zacharias say one time, right? I heard so-and-so say one time. We do this all the time. And probably more songs have been written about love than any other subject, right? Heartbreaks, love, tragedies, relationships, like some of the quotes I said, relationships. We can all relate to that if we're older. If you're younger, hang on. Right, your heartbreaks are coming, and your relationship troubles are coming, right? So we relate to these things. These things are there. They're in our life. These things speak to us. Even politics. Don't we love if somebody makes a song that's political in nature and leans towards the way we lean politically? Hey, this so-and-so famous person sang about this, right? You see what they said? We love that. Speaks to our heart, doesn't it? We can relate when somebody writes and speaks about these things because we're experiencing these more than we're experiencing God and the things of God. They're in our life more. You know, with exceptions of, you know, maybe full-time, you know, pastors and, you know, missionaries and things like that that are doing this on a daily basis. Most of our time is spent on these things. It's more real to us and closer to our heart than God is. And that's just the truth. Water reflects a place, so the heart reflects a person. Whichever ones of these things are speaking to your heart, it's like looking in a mirror, looking in a pond, right? Sometimes we can even be embarrassed or ashamed about the things of God, right? We don't want to talk about it to our non-believing friends. We don't even want to say, oh, I have plans. We don't want to say I'm going to a Bible study. We don't want to say I'm going to church. We don't want to say, I'm going to watch this Christian movie. So we're kind of embarrassed, right? I posit that we as adults are probably a lot more privy to that, but I imagine that young people are even, you know, even more socially awkward at, you know, being proud of going to see this Christian movie. No, Christian movies are not good. I'll admit it, as pieces of art. Are his messages. But I'm going to go to a Christian concert. I'm going to go to this Bible study. I'm going to go do this. While I was reading my Bible, we're embarrassed or ashamed. We're uncomfortable of talking about these things sometimes. And, you know, why is that? If we're not experiencing God or God's words, then they don't mean as much to us, right? Other people's words are more important than God's words to us, a lot of instances. And this is not right. So we want to go on to our second point, right? This water reflects the speech. So the heart reflects the person. What does the world say about your heart? If some of these things we talked about, if these are the things that speak to your heart, well, what does that say about your heart, right? Well, let's see what God has to say about our hearts. The heart is more deceitful than anything else and incurable. Who can understand it? Right, what's truly going on in there, right? That's what this is all about, deep in your heart. We understand our hearts are black. And here is how bad it is. He said, what comes out of a person is what defiles him, for From within, out of people's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, greed, evil actions, deceit, self-indulgence, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a person. Who can understand it? So tell me this. If the world wants us to follow our hearts, and this is what God says about our hearts, what's going to happen? Now you read this list and you're like, yeah, that's talking about that dirtbag I know, right? You know, yeah, oh yeah, I know that guy. Well, first off, you know, the Bible doesn't differentiate here. Let's take some of these things. Evil thoughts. I don't have evil thoughts. Well, when you're thinking of that you don't have evil thoughts, you're thinking that you're not thinking about murdering somebody. Right? Or doing something bad. Well, are you thinking about revenge? Are you thinking that somebody needs to be punished because they said something wrong to you? Because they did something wrong to you? Well, that would be an evil thought, right? That doesn't mean you have to be a serial killer to have this stuff coming from your heart. Have you ever deceit? Yeah, I'm not deceitful. I don't do that. Have you ever told the truth to somebody to manipulate them, even though you're speaking the truth? That's deceit. That's deceit coming from your heart, even though what you're speaking is the truth, right? We like to do these things all the time. I'm going to tell you this so that you will feel a certain way, a negative way, Toby, about Tommy Smith. I'm going to tell you the truth. So that you feel a negative way about him. That's deceit. Self-indulgence, do I even need to go there? Right? We all have somewhere we do this. Envy, right? Are you content with what you have? Right? Or do you really envy or covet what somebody else is? Slander, well, that's just, you know, telling a lie about somebody, or even over-exaggerating something. That is slander. Make no mistake about it. If you over-exaggerate what somebody said, what they meant, that's what this is. Foolishness. Is there anybody in here can honestly say they don't do something foolish every now and then? All right? Or every day. Or think something that way. Adulteries, sexual immoralities, we all know what Jesus said about that, right? Right? If you have the lust in your heart, then you're already guilty of these things. So, if you don't think you're this person, God disagrees with you. You are this person, right? There may be a question of degrees, but you are this person. We should not follow our hearts, right? We have to lead them. If we follow them, this is where it's going to lead us. We have to take our hearts to places, people, and things that are good. We have to listen to these things. And I don't just say that. God says that. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. You lead your heart to these places. You lead your heart to church. You came here this morning, right? You lead your heart to listening to things that are uplifting, of watching things that are there. That's our responsibility. We have to purposefully take our heart to the things of God. Right? This is what he's telling us. We don't follow our heart. We lead it. We guide it and we nurture it. There are so many verses that are similar to what you, guarding your heart and, you know, all of these things. There's, you know, we could go on forever. And I'm quite certain that a lot of you are having them pop into your head right now. Right? Oh, yeah, that's right. Guard your heart. Do that. Right? Lead your heart somewhere. Do not follow it. Make yourself go to where there is honor, to where there is justice, where there is purity, where things that are lovely. And not only that, dwell on these things. Think about them. Contemplate them. Meditate on them. Because if you don't, your ship is going to veer off. You have to purposefully do this. In this way, God will be more real to you. Us. We will experience him more. Then the things of God will speak to our heart. This is what God says about our hearts. Well, there's two parts of this message, right? The hearts. The other is words. Right? Where do we start doing this? Well, that's a good question. We can start with what's on the screen. We can start with God's words. We all have access to them. Even if you don't have a Bible, you can get them here. Right? This is what God says about our heart, and what the Bible says proceedeth from the heart, what it shows. What about God's words? We have all these other words speaking to us. What about the things that God says? For the word of God is living and effective and sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating as far as the separation of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Wow. Wow. So, God's words are really powerful. He's going to see everything. It's going to divide these sections of the heart that we're talking about, right? Some of you that have been in Sunday school, I actually said this a few weeks ago. Think of your body as an extension of your will, right? Your feet will take you to where you need to go, right? But they're part of you, right? You don't let your feet lead you. They're doing what you want them to do. Your hands, right? They carry out your will, right? They do work. They may protect. You know, they may point out. They may write. There's all kinds of things your hands can do. It's an extension of what you want done, right? Your feet are going to take you to where you want it done. Like right now, it's going to take me to this water bottle because my throat is dry. My hand's going to pick it up. Thank you. So your eyes, your ears, this is intake of information, right? So this affects you. Well, then you act on the information by using your hands, your feet, and your things like this. Outwards expressions of your will. So what part are words? The words that come out of your mouth. In your body, are they the intakes? Are they expressions of your will? The expressions of your will, right? They are serving a purpose when you speak them. They're conveying your ideas. They are conveying your thoughts. They are giving someone information. They can also hurt, right? They can also practice the things that we read about a few minutes ago. deceit, and things like that. We can use our words to do these. These, we can use them to manipulate. These are the bad things we can do with our words, just like we can do bad things with our hands. Right? We can hurt somebody with them. We can hurt somebody with words. There's still an expression of your will. What did we read a minute ago, right? The words that come out are what defile a man. You know, in Matthew it says the things that proceed from the mouth come from the heart. They come from your heart. Even if it's just that moment, even if you're angry, frustrated, and you boom, well, at your moment, at that moment, it might not be you 90% of the time, but at that moment, that was you, and that was your heart. So words are an extension of your will. They're an extension of your heart. So if we know what our heart is, we must be careful about these words. But I want to tell you about somebody whose words are perfect. The instruction of the Lord is perfect, renewing one's life. The testimony of the Lord is trustworthy, making the inexperienced wise. The precepts of the Lord are right, making the heart glad. The command of the Lord is radiant, making the eyes light up. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinance of the Lord are reliable and altogether righteous. The words of the Lord reflect his heart, just like us, right? The problem is that his are perfect and ours are not, right? Our words are reflecting the things speaking to our heart, and that comes out. Well, the instruction of the Lord is perfect. Right, that's what I like. I like that his words are perfect, but they're also an extension of his heart. I've heard people say that the Bible is a love letter to Israel. The Old Testament. I believe it's a love letter to all of us, right? But God uses them as an extension of his will also. Right? There are instructions. There are things he wants you to know. He wants to speak to your heart rather than all of these other things that we've intake. All these other words that speak to our heart. He wants his words to speak to our heart. He wanted so badly for us to understand him that his word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is this? This is Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. What if we just talked about words? They're reflecting his heart, and they're an extension of his will. Right? So, Jesus is reflecting God's heart. He wants so badly for us to understand the reasons that the nation of Israel in the Old Testament couldn't get. He wanted us to hear his words. His word became manifest, right? Go explain to them why they have the law. Go explain to him why I said this. Go explain to them why I did this. Here's my commandments. Here's my laws. Here is Jesus. Here is the reasons why all of these things happened. Here is the reasons why I commanded all of these things. Thou shalt not murder. No, I mean thou shalt not hate. Thou shalt not even want to. I need to send my words down there and explain my heart. Let people know, because they haven't gotten it yet. If this is also a reflection of God's heart, what happened to Jesus? Right? God's words were a reflection of his heart. They became flesh and tangible. And they sacrificed himself for us. That sacrifice is a reflection of God's heart. That sacrifice was done so that we can be there, right? Since we have this tendency to not obey, to not understand, to not want to understand his words, I'm going to put my heart on the line. Anyone listening on this camera, anyone listening in this room that hasn't put their faith to follow Jesus so that you may be in heaven because of his great sacrifice, I do want to say, if you feel that tug on your heart, you need to follow that. Because what happened to Jesus was a reflection of God's heart. His words come to life and the embodiment of his heart. We're going to sing a new song. I'm going to praise the praise and worship team because I threw this on them. It's one I picked out. A few of you may know it, but it fits in with this great. Let God's words speak to your heart more than anything else. And to do that, you have to purposely take your heart to these places. And that's this message. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you that you love us enough and your heart desires us enough, Lord, that you've given us your words, you've given us your heart, you've given us your thoughts and your ideas and your love, Lord, and your precepts and your commandments. Lord, though we don't deserve this because our hearts are black, you have still done this for us, Lord. And Lord, we need to run towards the light, Lord. We need to run towards you. We need to run towards your son, Jesus, Lord. And Lord, I pray that everyone that's hearing this today, Lord, that they'll examine their hearts, that they'll run towards the light and keep them away from the darkness, Lord, that they will read your words, understand your words, meditate on your words, and keep them in their heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.